Okay, we're learning Daf Samach Zayin tonight, the seventh parak of Peah. How far did you guys get last night?
We got up to the top word.
Me'ata? Okay, uh-huh. Perfect. So, we're talking about the idea that if you're makdish your karkas surface before the olos are nikar, so the olos will go to hekdash. If the olos became nikar, then it belongs to the aniyim. You don't have a right. In order to make your stuff shein shalom, so obviously the olos belong to the aniyim. Me'ata afilo noydu ha'olos yu ha'olos shal aniyim. Why does it make a difference whether they're seen? If it's property of the poor people, it seems like the assumption here is, let's see. In number one, it says that the Gemara is assuming that Hekdesh would be subject to the laws of all laws. So it's asking, even if the vineyards was Mukdash before the laws were Nikar, they should become the property of the Aniyim. Okay, I don't know why the Gemara made that assumption, but I guess it's just an assumption. So Shan Yehi, the Gemara explains why Shehi Karam Hekdesh. Because the vineyard is hektish, therefore it's not subject to the laws of Olos. So the Havamina was wrong. The Gemara now realizes that the temple vineyard is in fact not subject to the laws of Olos. Fine.
So things that grow in the vineyard after you made it hektish wouldn't automatically become hektish?
In the Havamina, it would have been subject to Hekta. It would have been subject to Olos, and therefore it belonged to the Aniyim. Yeah. Correct. Kadora Tony Hanotel Kamel Hekdesh, if a person plants a vineyard and he's doing it for Hekdesh, Paterman Ha Arla, it's Paterman Minahar Vay. So you bought them from both the first 3 years and the fourth year. You know, Eilas, the Chayv HaShvias, but it's Chayv and Shvias. So you see that it's not subject to all of us. Okay, and there it was, the Eilas that came after the fact that you're Makdash. Okay? Now the Gemara is going to say something really strange in just a minute.
Rav Ze'ir Shvias applies to Makdash also.
Yes. Rav Ze'ir B'Shem Rav Yechonon, B'Shavsa Aretz Shavas LaShem, that's exactly what you just asked. So he has a drasha from a pasuk that says that something which is Lashem is also Shav Sahar. It says a din shmita is chal even on something that's mukta, hektish. So he asked the following question. Meaning, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle... I'm gonna first tell you what the Mara Folder says, but don't ask me to explain it, because to me it makes mamish no sense. But this is what the English at the top goes. He goes with this shot. Ready? Okay. The world wants to know, how is it possible to redeem during the Shemitah year? If I'm the one that was makdish the Sada, and I want to go and redeem those payers, how is that going to work? Listen to the problem. So he had the following question. To eat it without redeeming it is not possible. Because after all, it's hektish. In other words, we have a problem. You're right, Chopsy. In a certain sense, you were correcting your assumption. Although, so, I mean, let's just follow the years, right? Mm-hmm. So year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the payers that the hektish land produces is hektish. No one can take it without being poded, obviously. Now comes the Shemitah year, and the Shemitah year is hefker for everybody, right? What do you mean it's hefker for everybody? It may be hefker, but we can't take it because it belongs to hektish. So it isn't hefker. It's quasi hefker. Well, what kind of din is that? So let's make an assumption.
Can't sell it.
What's that?
Does it mean that hektish can't use it for other purposes?
Hektish has to be noheg within all the dinim of kedushas hektish, which means they can't work the field. They can't do schayra with it. They can't do ibud on those peiros. All the halachas that normally in a gesh shmita. But what about the guy that was makdash? He wants to eat the peiros. So you'll say, okay, so come pay some money for. So he can't just take it off the field. That's the first line it says.
Why should he be able to do that?
Why should he be able to do what?
He would makdash the field, right?
We're talking about the Paris now.
Just the Paris, not the Paris.
Don't forget about the field. The field is not, nothing happens to the field during Shemitah year. The Paris or Shemitah are what we're discussing now. So now you go ahead and you want to just pick those Paris and eat them. So you can't do that. We're sorry, Charlie. Eichler blood pinion the Yafshar. She Yafshar lacked lots of blood pinion. You gotta pay the piper, right? Lifdoso Ochlo. So let's go ahead and let him redeem the payers. Let him pay some money to the Gizbar. It will become ice hektish, and now go ahead and eat it, right? Also impossible. Listen to what he says here. Nimtza kelokeach loikardo midmei shvius. Because it comes out as if he's buying an axe with money or shmita, which is forbidden. Now here is very difficult to understand what you're showing me. What do you mean it's like buying an axe? What are you talking about? You're buying fruit. How are you buying an axe? What does your showing mean?
Can you explain why you can't buy, can't use money from Shemitah to buy an axe? What does that mean?
In other words, let's take a case. Remember, when you are paida, let's put it this way, not paida, if It is pinyon in the sense that if you sell me, remember, you can sell me peiros shvius, even though it says la'achav lo l'schayra, but that's only true as far as making a business. You can't open a fruit stand on the side of the road. But if you pick too many peiros and you have a couple left over and you want to sell them to me, that you can do. So I go ahead and I pay you a dollar for those peiros shvius. When those the kedusha of the shmita goes on the money, okay. So now it doesn't come. By the way, it doesn't come off the payers. The payers retain their kedusha. It's a little different than, but the kesef does become subject to kedusha shmita. So now I think I'm saying the correct thing. So now you want to go ahead and take these monies that you got from me for a Shemitah, and you want to go to the hardware store and buy yourself an axe. You can't do that. You can only buy peiros. You can only buy things that are roi for achila with those, because they have the kedusha Shemitah in that sense. You can't do business with that money. And making a transaction to buy an axe would be business, right? You following that? So why?
It's not the axe.
You can't buy anything that's not food. We'll put that out, right? So now, what's his problem over here? What exactly are we talking about over here? We're talking about, I'm giving the Gizbar money to be paid the payers that came off my field that grew it during the Shemitah year, and the Gemara is saying all of a sudden I can't do that because it's like buying an axe. What's it even mean? It's like a mystery. So on the footnote 10 it says, that you should realize that there are two kedushas on these payers. There's kedusha number one, because I was makdashit, so it has kedushas hektish. Kedusha number two, it has a secondary hektish of shmita, because it grew during a shmita year. So we have two kedushas we have to deal with. Right? Now, so let's look in footnote 10. After A and B. When the former owner, in the second paragraph, when the former owner, you see it?
Yeah.
Purchases this produce from the temple, his act of redemption operates on both of these levels. So the money he gives in exchange for the produce assumes both hektish and shmita sanctity. It has kedushas hektish and kedushas shmita. Now, by exchanging the money for the produce, the former owner performs a mitzvah. What this mitzvah is exactly, I don't know what mitzvah it is. Let's assume it's some kind of mitzvah. Okay? Namely, the mitzvah of redeeming temple property. Okay, fine. However, because this money acquired Shemitah sanctity in the course of the exchange. Okay, what does that mean, in the course of the exchange? I mean, I thought this was going to all happen at once. But the way he's looking at it, the only way I could figure out at all what he's talking about is that these kedushas happen sequentially.
We're talking about another person.
We're talking about, and for some reason, we're talking about right now the owner, the former owner. If you're beginning at the beginning,
yeah,
of
that was the beginning. Havimina.
We're still in the Havimina now.
Okay.
We're still in the Havimina. So, and why former owner is different than a different person, I have totally no idea. I do not understand what the difference is between
the former owner. In one case it's a mitzvah, and one case for one person it's a mitzvah, but not for the other.
Why? What like mitzvah? What are we talking about over here?
If I can get my stuff back, I can be magdish my property, and then I can get out of Arla Netarivai, and then by Shemitah I can get it back. It looks like a ruse.
Okay, you're making a whole story now. Let's try to focus on what the Gemara is trying to say. What you're worrying about is kenunyas right now. This is very difficult. Cause this money acquired Shemitah sanctity in the course of the exchange. He's in effect purchasing this mitzvah with Shemitah money. So he's coming up with some problem here, that because redeeming it is some kind of mitzvah, and in the course of the exchange, which if it hasn't redeemed the thing, it hasn't happened yet, but for some reason it's happening sequentially, in the sense that the Kedusha Shemitah goes on the money already, and then it tries to exchange the Shemitah money for the Hekdesh, and when you're doing the exchange for the Hekdesh part, well, that's a mitzvah. I'm using the money to be mekayim some mitzvah, which is a strange mitzvah to begin with. This whole thing is like, forget it. Let's just skip this, all right? I'm not learning this way. I'm not learning my Rafaldo. Forget it. It's just, I just sat here scratching my head trying to think, what are you talking about? I mean, I don't even have a beginning of a clue of what he's talking about. So, I had to go to variant box A to get a new shot in what the Gemara means. And that, I think it's much simpler, very straightforward. Let's go to textual and interpretive variants. Others maintain, when the Gemara said that redeeming the consecrated Shemitah produce is like purchasing an axe, it was not referring to the original consecrator, but was focused on how the temple treasury could make use of the money it received in exchange for the produce. Getting money for the produce is a no-brainer. I give you the money, you give me the produce. It's simple, no problem. But now, I'm the Gizbar of Hekdesh, I have this money. What am I going to do with this money? This money is it's got Kedusha Shemitah on it. It severely limits what I can do with this money, and I'm a gizbar. I like to have freedom to do what I need to do. Hekdesh has its needs, right? So that's the Gemara is asking. The Gemara points out, when the consecrated Shemitah produce is redeemed, the money assumes Shemitah sanctity. Thus, when the temple treasurer uses the money, it's as if he has purchased an axe with the Shemitah money, because he did a commercial transaction. Meaning, if he went to Home Depot to buy a light bulb, a light bulb went out in the sanctuary, and he goes to Home Depot to buy a light bulb with that cash he got for the Shemitah money, he's violating Kedusha Shemitah. You can't do that. Okay? It's forbidden. Now, how then is the temple to derive use from the money? That's the kasha of the Gemara. Okay? It's a much easier to understand line. It takes off all the kashas. My question, I don't understand one word of the marifold. I don't know why there's a difference between the original owner versus another owner. Why is there all of a sudden a problem that you're doing a mitzvah with Kedusha Shemitah money? Like, all of a sudden that's a problem. Everything is like, it's just one problem after another, and I don't know what to do with it. So we're going to learn this way, okay? So the Aikla opinion, opinion. The Daisu La'ikla, and then to be parted with money, so then what's the people in the, what is the Gizmer going to do with it? How is he going to handle it? Amalei, so he said to him, and notice how he says HaGizmer, how it's working out so much better according to Arpshot, how he's starting with the Gizmer, because we're addressing the Gizmer now. Hagizbar machlifa biyadacher. So now what he says is what the gizbar does is he gets another person who has money who will be machlif the kedusha of the money that the gizbar has and put it onto his money. So now it's that guy's problem. The rule is with Shemitah money, with Shemitah produce, it's always the Shemitah retains its kedusha, and whatever money is last in the line of the Hachlifin is the one that gets, but all the money in between, you know, exchange this money for that money, that money for that money, that money for that money. Although all the middle ones are chulin, right? So the Gizbar has taken care of his problem. That's what I think it says over here. So back to the textual and interpretive variants. The Gemara responds, the temporal treasurer must deconcentrate the money on chulin money provided by another with the intention of removing the Shemitah sanctity. This way it's transferred to chulin coins, which are then used for approved Shemitah purposes. The temple money remains with the temple consecration only. It can be used for all temple needs. Very simple. It's very simple. Okay, let's go on. The Gemara assumed during Shemitah year that the fruit of a consecrated vineyard possesses temple sanctity and Shemitah sanctity. Now the Gemara questions this assumption. Amar Matanya v'lomo les lanan amrin ki de amar b'yechanan. Why don't we say like Rabbi Yechanan said in another context, where someone makes a vow to prohibit benefit of possessions of another person, and then they make it hefker. So it's like this. So divi Yosi, they should kadam nidro lehefkero. Remember, Rabbi Yosi is the one that holds that if I make an iser neder on someone else, they can't benefit from me. And I'm mafkirit, Rabbi Yosi says you can't benefit from it either. Even though it's hefker now, because it's like hefker has the status like I'm still attached to it a little bit, right? So he says that's only true when the iser neder took place prior to the hefker. But if the hefker took place prior to the neder, then it's okay. That's Rabbi Yechanan's thing. So the Gemara says now we're on the base. Here's the question. Here too, Neshakadam Hefkero Lehekdesho. Since the ownerlessness of Shemitah, meaning the Parsha, well, he means the reason why he's calling this as having coming before, even though we're talking about, remember, I made it Hekdesh in the sixth year, so how did the Shemitah come before? Because the Parsha of Shemitah was given Har Sinai. And therefore, since it was given Har Sinai, it predated my Hekdesh. We're playing a little game over here, but that's what it seems to say. Am I right about that shot? One, right? It says, although the person may have consecrated this vineyard before Shemitah, the law of Shemitah was set down at Sinai. You see the footnote? Long before it was consecrated. We're asking a question.
So he's saying that the payers of the seventh year are not included in what he was magdish.
That's right. It's wild.
It doesn't make any sense.
I gotta tell you, this whole Yerushalmi is very difficult. Okay. And there's no answer to this question. Next. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yaisi says, what? That if they're discerned,
yes.
If they are discerned,
the Ololos,
right? If he consecrates the vineyard after they are discerned, the poor must donate the value of the new growth to Hekesh, right? On Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Isa Hoya, Vahoya, Rabbi Yaisi. I'm Isa Shoya, they pass him like Rabbi Yaisi, whatever. I didn't look up any halachas here.
We're trying to figure out how that actually is done. You got 50 aniyim there, and each one's got to figure out how much he has to put back based on how much he took. Not so easy.
Because you have to recalibrate. Yeah.
Why can't you can't figure out how much you took?
No, but you can. Everybody who took prior to that should have taken
because of the growth. You're paying for that extra growth.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Uh-huh. New growth. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. All right. That's a good question. Ezuhi shukva. So it said what? If it's trellised vine, it doesn't become shukva until it's out of arm's reach, right? Because we said trellis, what's it? The trellis is, I guess it's so choshev to the person that he really thinks about it until after it's out of arm's length. Otherwise, what would it be as soon as you pass it by, even if it is within arm's length, it doesn't matter, it would still be shukhan. That's what we said, right? So, les ha-dopligal Rabbi Yerkanon. Doesn't this argue on Rabbi Yerkanon? Why? Rabbi Yerkanon, I'm here, shavar lo v'shchachav. We had this Gemara before, earlier in the Masechta, that once he passes the tree, it remains, it's shikha, even without, even within the arm's reach, as soon as you pass it, it's already shikha. And here we're saying, the Mishnah says that it's only if it's out of arm's reach. So Gemara says, shanihi ba'ariz shadak lovchom. The trellis is different because he usually checks it. So I like the way he's brought over here in the brackets, also from Chaim. Now because trellised vines are difficult to reach because of their height, because they become tangled in the frame of the trellis, so it's common to check these vines from several different angles so he won't miss a single cluster. Therefore, as long as he's not moved out of the arm's reach, we may assume that he's still engaged in harvesting this vine, has not overlooked it. That's a very balabatish approach to it. So also, this is again Reb Chaim, right? Does it make sense? The trellis, in other words, the trellis, the reason why it has a longer span of time than something normal is because there's so much more involved in the harvesting of the grapes of the trellis because it's intertangled with all the, you know, with the wood pattern and all that. So it's he's involved with it much longer. That's basically.
Can also have to do with the fact that doesn't a trellis go like that? I don't have a picture, but doesn't it go like this? So it's like
it can go many different ways.
You know, lattice is more
it's
like
a,
up
it's
and down.
It's a lattice.
You know, a trellis may be like horizontally, so it's a longer extension where he would be walking across. It's a longer extension of the vine as opposed.
So you view the trellis as being like an L or an R shape or whatever.
Is the arch or you know, like a sukkah, like the top, like a
Is it because it's more revealed, you can see it, so therefore you think about it more, or is it more hush?
That's another way to learn it. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So the Gemara then says, "Mafilar paishia less he pliga." Doesn't this have a, isn't this a problem from Paisha? The Paisha Yomar, Raimus Ha'isi Zaysim and Rabchiyah Godal. Again, this is another repetition of a Gemara we had earlier. They were treading olives with Rabchiyah. Amali, so he said to me, Kol Zayas Shat Yochal Lifshot Yodchal Litlo, Eno Shecha. Any olive that you can stretch your hand out and reach it, it's not Shecha. So Amrisha says that it becomes shikha as soon as he passes it by. So that's a stira to Reb Hayshia. So my answer is, Shanya he, shukha ruglius for ruglius, umabithne atzmo. Every vine on the ground is like a separate row. So once a harvester leaves a row, he can't go back to the row, even if it's within arm's reach. So since these vines are treated as rows, so therefore, as soon as you pass it by, it's no good. But an ordinary tree, it has to be within arm's reach. Okay, that's basically it. So that's Hadron Allah calls on it. So let's go to the next parak. My Amos, I call out a mutar of the lechashik, Mishayelcha and Amushas. When do what? When is anybody allowed to take the leket, right? I see a little leket on the ground, and it's late in the season. When can I take it myself, even though I'm not an Oni, I can take it. The Mishnah says, when? Once the Nemushos, the elderly poor, have gone through the field. What's the lumdus of that? What's
they're
the
slow.
What?
They're slow.
What's the lumdus, I'm asking? What's the lumdus of the heter?
I mean, why is he allowed to go back?
Why isn't mutter for me to take? What's the lumdus of the heter?
Yish.
The aniyim are miyayish over it, and the yish is like it's group yish, right? And right. So therefore, I'm allowed to take it. Now,
why doesn't it go back to the owner?
The owner can't go take it.
He's asking back. why isn't his chatzar koyin? He's asking.
Why he doesn't know medically?
Yeah.
Good point. He abandoned it, right?
No.
Yeah.
He abandoned it for the aniyim.
He didn't abandon it. The aniyim, it's the aniyim.
It hit the ground. It's out of my reach now. I lost it because it's like so it's not.
But I'm saying, but if everybody's gain and it's his in chotzer, his chotzer is called.
I don't. Yeah, that's a good question. Why does it go back?
That a regular person shouldn't be able to take.
Hmm.
The
emotion says Hefger, says the word Hefger.
Wasn't surrounded by a gate.
So you're saying he's getting involved in the halachas of Kinyan Chatsa. So according to what you're saying this is that this mission is an Ukimta. But if this was a Chatsa which had a gate around it, and I'll even throw in that the owner was standing on the side, so it's mamish like Yodai. So you're telling me that this mishnah would not apply.
He explains it here.
Okay, that's fine.
He explains it here in number three, in the second paragraph.
Number three?
Yeah, in the second paragraph.
Yeah, the classic application is regards to obligation of trying to lost object. As long as he's not given up hope, should he give up hope, the object becomes orderless, and blah, blah, blah. Here too, the elderly collectors have gone through the field. The poor despair of finding anything else in the field. Through this yish, whatever is left becomes ownerless and permitted for anyone. That doesn't answer his question.
Yeah, it's saying that there is no, it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to anybody.
Why isn't he Kona from Hefger with his field? That's his question.
What he's saying is here that doesn't work in this case. Why haven't...
Hold on a second. All he explains here is that at a certain point, there's yush from the aniyim, they despair of ever getting any more leket out of this field. At that point, whatever's on the ground becomes hefker. Now, if something hefker is in my field, if a wild animal goes into my field and breaks its leg, my chatzar is kind of that hefker animal. Yes or no?
Yes.
So why isn't that kind of the hefker? Of the leket, that's those questions.
Oh, he says...
I don't have an answer to that question.
He says that because he was misyayish, that the aniyim will take it.
Oh, he's misyayish also.
He's misyayish because the aniyim
so
will take it.
So we've got a double yish here.
Right.
We have yish from the...
So then his chatzar is not going to automatically
yish,
after
he's
the
got yish. That's
the
good. I like that.
That's
so you have yish from the owner and yish from the aniyim, so you have double yish.
Because the owner
the aniyim were going to get it.
Come and clean me out. I'm done. I'm done. It's gone.
Very
so
good. I like that.
It doesn't belong to him.
Why? I don't understand. That doesn't answer the question. So what if there's a double yush? It should be committed automatically.
He's saying that the Gemara, he's bringing the Gemara about Metzia. I don't know the source, but he's saying that in that case, the Chatzah won't cone it for him. Because he was misyayish lechatchila, and then the aniyim come and take it, the chatzar won't come.
Okay, that sounds.
That's what you say.
It sounds like a good answer to me. I don't know.
Look at the Gemara.
I brought along the Kavod Shiurim because he says to look at the Kavod Shiurim, volume 2, 17.5, and I very rarely get a chance to use my Kavod Shiurim. Okay, so I'm very excited. 17.5. So I looked it up. Simon Yud Zion. And the reason I want to read it to you is because he quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. Very interesting Lashon HaRambam. Listen to the way the Rambam describes this halacha. It's Perek Aleph Halacha Yud. Nemar B'Matnas Aniyim. La'ani v'lager tazov osam. Kozman sha'aniyim tov in osan. As long as they're toveya it. Pasku ha'aniyim levakesh v'lachzar alehim. The aniyim stop looking after it. They stop going for the stuff. Harei ha'nishar mehen mutter l'chol adam. Whatever's left is mutter to everybody, right? She'en gufan kadosh. There's nothing that's inherently kadosh about that the leket. It doesn't like it's kedushas aniyim, whatever you want to call it. Ketrumas, it's not like trumas. Ve'enu chayiv liten lohen demayim. No one has to give the value to the aniyim. Shelo never behem v'nosan l'aniyim el tazov osan. All it says is to leave it for the aniyim. Ve'enu mitzuva lazov osan l'chayiv lo oifas. And he's not mitzuva to leave it for the animals. El aniyim. I left it for the aniyim. There are no more aniyim. They gave up. No one's coming through anymore. Okay, so that is
the essence
of what the Rambam is saying here is that the Rambam doesn't call it hefker. The Rambam doesn't call it yish. That's why he calls it the footnote. The Rambam says, I left it for the aniyim. And the aniyim, that was my chiyuv. The aniyim, as long as they were coming to get it, fine. But once they stop coming after it, it's no longer a requirement and becomes mutter to everybody. Next halach, halach yidalach me'emay, it's not kolonim, the Torah m'lekin. Mishin yichnesu ha'malachtin shniyim. Once the second group comes through, v'yilkutu ha'acham lachtin mishonim v'yetsu. Once they come through, it's called l'kutei basa l'kutei in the Lashon of the Gemara. That's the point over here. So it's not exactly yush, it's something different. Okay, interesting point. All right, beautiful. The parable oilis. How about when is everybody allowed to take that? Misha yachani and become viavo. Again, the same thing. They go through the yard and they return. That is, they go through once and come back a second time, right? Ubezesim, that's the last, we're almost done here. Ubezesim and the olives, one of them can take the olives. Mishater revir shnia, once the second rain falls. So, here it's talking about shikha. When is the shikha mutter? So there's no leket perot olos, but they're subject to peya. They're also subject to shikha. Yeah. However, peya is concentrated in one section. It's uncommon for there to be any remaining peya. Okay, well, that's just a detail. So he's saying we should take the second period of rain. So once that falls, it's the 23rd of Mar, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's the 23rd of Mar Cheshvan. So it's not exactly clear. In other words, why is this different? Why don't we say, why did the time for olives change from the other ones? The other ones are very clear. Once the aniyim went through and came a second time, so then that was a time you could go and take it. So it should be the same din for olives, but yet the olives, they use this a different time thing altogether. Not exactly sure. We'll see, I guess, in the Gemara. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, halo yeshei moiskin, as they say, alach ari yeshniyah, but there's some people who don't even begin to harvest until after the rain comes. So he says a logical reason, a time frame. Once they've gone to the extent that a poor person goes out, cannot bring back four isser's worth. So once you've gotten to that point, then they give off. And with this, we finish.